Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show on a Monday. That means Father Charles Murr is with us. Father Charles, this is the Easter season. I just want to continue to say Happy Easter and proclaim that Jesus Christ is truly risen.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And he most certainly has.
Yeah. And you know, without that, we have nothing. As St. Paul says, I mean, if Christ didn't resurrect, we're wasting our time. But we're not, because we're convinced that the God-man, Jesus Christ, true God and true man, arose from the dead after the crucifixion, and that he opened the gates of heaven for us all. So this is a game changer. No other religion has someone dying and coming back to the dead. Buddhism doesn't. Oh, thank you. Any of the other religions do not have this. So I just think that it's
that's why we refer to Catholicism, Terry, as the true faith.
Yeah, there you go. That's it, man. Father, we have the gospel. I love the angel Gabriel. This is famous. Everybody knows this gospel. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38 for Monday, the 8th of April. And if you could be so good to read that gospel and give us your commentary on it, that would be grand.
Absolutely. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to thee, O Lord.
The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And entering, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." She was greatly troubled by these words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Be not afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I know not man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Behold, Elizabeth, your kinswoman, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing is impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. As we know, this is the Annunciation narrative, and we are celebrating it on the 8th of April, because during Lent, it fell on a day that they transferred it. This is the new Novus Ordo liturgy. And so I'd like to talk a little bit, if you could, Father, about this is such an important day. Usually March 25th, the Word became flesh. We always pray the Angelus, three times a day. We try to do it to remind us of what great event took place. So I'd like to have you chat about that.
Well, the Annunciation is exactly that. We say it's the angel Gabriel doing the announcement, yes. But the announcement is God's announcement. Right. It's God's word sent to Mary. And Fulton J. Sheen, who we both love an awful lot, Terry.
Amen.
Said, he gives a very good example of this. He said, you know, when you talk to a convert, a Catholic convert, a Protestant probably, who becomes a Catholic, he or she can tell you exactly the day, even the hour, that he first believed.
Mm. Yep.
All right. Yep. That's how powerful the word of God comes into some people's lives. You notice this in a convert because they're coming into the faith as something radical. Whereas we who are born into it, cradle Catholics we call, it's not so radical. We're born into it, we grow up with it. But those who come to the faith later in life know that the dramatic change that the Word of God makes in them. Well, Sheen goes on to say, certainly that's the case, this dramatic change that the Word of God makes in people. The dramatic change that it made in the Blessed Virgin Mary, who was created by God for this purpose, and her nature was not a fallen nature. Her nature was the same nature as Eve. As God created Eve, he created Mary for this purpose. In her, the Word not only came into her hearing and into her understanding and into her heart, as it does with anyone who grasps and accepts the faith. In her, her condition was so loving and so intense that in her, the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh in her. This is beautiful. This is fantastic. Now, we, in the olden days, Terry, the good sisters used to tell us, these are mysteries.
Yeah.
This is a mystery of faith. We can't begin to penetrate. They're absolutely right.
Sure.
There is no one, there is no human being who really understands this fully, because you can't. It would be to understand God fully, and you can't do that either. We understand what we can understand. We know what we should know and can know, and that's it. But we marvel at this because it is an incredible proof of the love of God that he entered into human history this way. And remember, we've talked many times about being made in the image of God.
Yep.
Is to have freedom.
Yep.
Because God is free. He's free to create, and he gives us freedom so that we can ultimately love freely. This freedom that we have was also Mary's in a very, very, very powerful way, because without the taint of sin, God respected her freedom. He asked, this is incredible when we stop to think of it.
Yeah.
And it's also incredible, Terry, let me be quite candid with you.
Sure.
I've never understood, and never will understand why so many Christian non-Catholics have such a disdain for Mary. I've never understood it. There is nothing to understand. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's ludicrous. God asked this woman's permission.
Yep.
Did God ever ask your permission, Terry, for something?
Never.
He never asked me for my permission. Right? He asked this woman's permission. Would she accept being the mother of his son? Fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum. Let it be done to me according to thy word, is her answer. This is amazing. What a fantastic woman that God would deign to ask her permission.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And this is what we celebrate in the Annunciation.
Yep.
We celebrate the Annunciation. We also celebrate the conception, the Immaculate Conception of Jesus Christ in Mary's womb.
Right.
At this Annunciation, because the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and the child to be born of her was called Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. This is fantastic.
It is.
So this is where, what's important is, this is the beginning.
Yeah.
This is the real beginning of it,
yeah,
of this God entering into God's own human history that he created. Amazing.
Yeah.
There are things that people have meditated all their lives, mm-hmm, just contained in this one gospel.
True.
And have never completely said, okay, now I understand it all, because it's impossible. It is, I think we can get to a point where we understand what we can understand. And from there on, we just love. We just love God, and we thank him for the great grace, right?
That's beautiful. Beautiful. Wow. And I want to just throw one comment because I have a lot of experience with Protestants like you have, who, you know, from apologetics, and they made this point, and I think it's just because they're mixed up on their Christology. What? Yeah, and I really do.
Yes.
It comes down to the role of Mary. They somehow think it's usurping something from Jesus Christ. And they just don't get that. Lord. That this was the will of God, that Mary was instrument for bringing Jesus to the world. And so, and I show that, you know, somehow it's just like a thick, it doesn't comprehend. They just don't get it. And so I smile. I mean, what can I say? I you know, that if you're that prejudiced about the Blessed Mother.
Terry, you know what I think it is too?
What?
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. But, and I think that it's all of their lives.
Yeah.
Protestants have heard that we worship and adore Mary.
That's right.
And this, which is so false. It's just absolutely false.
Right.
You don't even know how to begin attacking it.
Yeah.
But they've got that such a buildup of that gunk, that spiritual gunk in their heads, that they can't see the light of day. It's a shame.
I'm with you.
Because they're really cheated out of something fantastic.
Yes, we got to keep reaching out to them with love. Stay with us. This is the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Charles Murr is with us. We got a special guest when we come back. His name is Bishop Sheen. It'll be time for him and much, much more. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Charles Murr sitting in for Jesse. It's a Monday. Yeah, we just did the Feast of the Annunciation on the 8th of April because of Lent and Easter, I should say, the way it fell on the dates. And I just want to bring the smartest guy into the room. Yes, it's Bishop Sheen. He visits us every single day here at Virgin Most Powerful. Why? Because we say full Sheen ahead. Why? Because I believe, and this is just my take, and I know Father Murr has a great love and respect for Fulton Sheen, but I'm praying every day for his beatification. I think it's a tragedy that there are people in the church today in high levels, highest levels, who really don't want to see Bishop Sheen be beatified. And my take on it is because his teaching embarrasses them. As a matter of fact, they just don't agree because he's with the church, the perennial teachings of the church. All right, I said it because that's what I've been thinking for about 2 years when they postponed that beatification. All right, his quote of the day, and it fits right in. There's a lot of hatred for the church. Yeah, and you know, Father Murr, there's hatred from outside. I get that, okay? I really do. But on the inside, it's almost like a self-destruction of the church from people dressed like you. And they shouldn't be, but this is what we're dealing with. Here's what Bishop Sheen says. Hatred of. He says, the final form of hatred in religion is a wish to defy God and to maintain one's own evil in the face of his goodness and power. Now, I'm going to give an example of that statement, okay? President Joe Biden on Easter Sunday came out and said, hey, this is transgender. This is a day for visibility of declaring you're being a transgender, and this is great. And this is a baptized Catholic saying this on Easter Sunday. Well, God bless Archbishop Vigano. And I'll tell you why. He responded not the next day, the same day he responded. And so I'm going to give some comments on what he had to say. But your initial response, Father Charles Murr, when you heard about, maybe you didn't because you're in Europe, but if you did hear about this.
Oh, no. We heard about it
loud and
immediately.
Clear. Yeah, okay.
Immediately. Because it was sacrilegious.
Yes.
Look, Terry. I've got to say this before you get into what you're going to say, which is Vigano is absolutely correct to attack strongly this whole position. You have to understand that the socialists or Marxists, whatever you want to call them, the leftists, do this sort of thing for shock value.
Ah.
Right?
Yeah.
They tried immediately to walk it back. Well, the date is the 31st of March. It just happened that this year was on Easter and blah, blah, blah. But that, you know, that has nothing to do with it. Yes, it has everything to do with it. They know it.
Sure.
And it doesn't matter. They wanted that shock and they got it. They got it. That's what they wanted. They wanted people to be shocked and not to forget it.
Yeah.
They made their point. You know, it's sort of like the lawyer, the shrewd lawyer in a case,
yeah,
who will ask a question, and the answer is given, which is a powerful answer, and the judge says, it's overruled. The judge turns and says to the jury, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, kindly scratch that last remark. Remove it from your memory. You never heard it.
Wow.
Oh, really? Oh, really? And the shrewd lawyer says, that's right. That's right. But they did hear it. Right. And this is the same thing that they're doing with leftist politics.
Yeah.
This is a shocking thing. And then they try to walk it back. You don't have to walk it back. There is no walking back. They know what they were doing and they know what they're doing. And this is what they do.
Yeah.
Joe Biden, I hate to say this, but let me put it this way. Terry,
yes.
This may come as a shock to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy that you're seated.
Yeah, I'm sitting down.
But I do have my own sins to answer for on Judgment Day.
Of course, we all do.
I just want you to know, beware of that.
Of course.
But I'll tell you one thing I don't want to do on Judgment Day is be standing near Joe Biden.
Oh, amen. Or Nancy
Pelosi. Because I'm telling you, the man has blood on his hands.
Yes.
As do all of in that party who espouse abortion. They want it as a right. This is a right. This is unbelievable. God is not going to forget what this nation under God has permitted to happen.
Yeah.
He's not going to forget this. And we're not going to be able to change the balance of nature again. There's a lot to pay for this, a lot to pay for this. And anyway, that's my first reaction. Yeah. I hope it wasn't too shocking.
No, I think you're right. And I pray for his conversion. He's baptized. This man is portraying himself as he brings his rosary up. He says, I'm a Catholic. I pray the rosary. I'm this. And it's scandalous because of what
The devil can quote scripture.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Well, here's Archbishop Vigano. His statements regarding the scandalous proclamation of March 31st as Transgender Visibility Day by President Joe Biden. He said, the unprecedented and scandalous proclamation of March 31st as Transgender Visibility Day by self-styled U.S. President Joe Biden, who dares to declare himself a Catholic, constitutes a most serious offense to God and to millions of Catholics and Christians in America, around the world, before which it is impossible not to react with due firmness. Boy, I wish, well said. He says this, I urge American citizens, that's us, and their representatives in government to recognize the total unworthiness of Joe Biden to hold an institutional position, which it is well known that he uses fraudulent and manipulative actions to achieve the 2020 president election. I asked my brothers in the Episcopate, okay, and priests to recognize that Joe Biden has incurred a base excommunication, as such must be expelled from churches and not admitted to Holy Communion. I call on Catholics and all Christians to pray that on this solemn Easter day, the risen Lord will have mercy on the United States. Boy, you're not kidding. And put
Harry. Yeah. He uses a phrase in there that's very powerful, and
we should call attention
to
it. Is it latte?
He dares to call himself a Catholic.
Yeah, he dares. Okay. Yeah.
He dares to call himself a Catholic because what he's doing has nothing to do with Catholicism. It has nothing to do with Christianity. As a matter of fact, it is against that. It would be better for him.
Yes.
It would be better for him on Judgment Day were he not a Catholic.
Wow. Yes, of course. More responsibility. We've said that. Yes, absolutely. And you know what? Not to change the topic, but I've noticed that there's more secular people waking up to the wokeness. And I call this, you know, where people are just doing stupid things. And they're going, wait a minute. Like in Oregon, they're now putting back laws that criminalize using illegal drugs. Before they said, oh, let everybody have illegal drugs. What could that hurt? And then they realized there hurt, all kinds of things happen. San Francisco did that. It seems like we're starting to wake up, but I don't think the church right now is waking up. And I believe that we lay
No, the church, unfortunately, Terry, you're right again. The church is very much asleep.
Yeah.
Very much asleep. And that, and you know what? I'm sorry, but it's not asleep. I take that back. It's not asleep. The church is awake and refuses to speak.
Yes. And
that's what's wrong.
And
what's wrong.
And that's where I wanted to get to, if I could, on this, what is the medicinal medicine of excommunication the church has used on individuals for the benefit of them. And I might also add the most, I mean, yes, for them, but it also is a benefit for the flock, the faithful, because they can see that what Joe Biden, if he gets excommunicated, saying his what he's doing is contrary to God's laws, and we're going to call him to repent. What do you think that message is going to be to anyone else who has that same position that, hey, wait a minute.
Sure.
You know, see, and this is what I see. The lives of innocent are threatened through abortion, euthanasia. He's promoting all these things. We're also doing many, many things that are so immoral in our country. And he's leading the charge, like you said, a right to kill innocent life. So I want to ask you this question, and that is, you know what? When we come back from the break, I want to let you figure it out even more. But I'm just going to set the stage. We have in the church today been a silence that's been going on for, I'll say, 60 years. Okay, so I don't want to just put this on Pope Francis. Now, he's escalated the silence, and as a matter of fact, not only silence, but he's been saying things that are not consistent with the perennial teachings of the church. We pray for him because that's his role, to pass on the deposit of faith and defend that faith. So these are serious matters that we're dealing with. And so when we come back from the break, I want to ask you, and maybe I'll just do these first couple minutes with you. I just want to ask you this question is, what's the down? I mean, in other words, in history, when we look at church history, I've seen saints excommunicate emperors, and it was like a game changer for them. And and many of them had repented years later and were reconciled. My question is, how much love do we really have in the church when we let people live immoral lives and not calling them out? See, I just don't see that's not love. You know what I think that is? Well, it's hatred. It is. It's in hatred because the idea of letting people live lives contrary to God and not correcting them because of your ordination or your baptism as a layman, to call people back and say, what you're doing is wrong. I love you enough to tell you, knock it off, my son or my daughter. It seems that the role play that the church is playing right now as a hierarchical church is really affecting the family in a very bad way, because fathers and mothers are going, well, if the Pope says it's okay for Susie to live with Susie, another, or Mary, and, you know, they're lesbians, and they're not, you know, they can still go to communion, they can still be sponsors at baptisms, they can still do anything. Then we're asking ourselves, wait a minute, what do we believe anymore? Your thoughts.
We have time?
Well, we have a minute and a half. We're going to cover it in a second. You know what? Let me do this. You're going to, no, we don't. Because this is, I think, a whole segment on you.
No, this is kind of lengthy and kind of heavy.
It is, because, right? But it's a very serious matter, Father Charles, and I'll tell you.
Well, that's why.
Yeah, it is serious, because too many people aren't getting the direction they need, and you've got what I would call, you know, their culpability of a layman when the priest or the bishop or even the Pope doesn't give them direction on moral teachings, whether it's contraception or abortion, and you just say, oh, decide for yourself. The culpability for that layperson is not nearly as great, okay, as the bishop, the Pope, or a layman who says, yeah, go ahead and kill that baby. It's okay. You know, you don't need, you can't have another baby, or, you know, you don't need this right now. You're going to college, or, you know, it'll ruin your figure if you have a baby. Come on. These are all worldly views. And so when we come back, I want to ask you regarding the medicinal benefits of excommunication and why this needs to be done in the Catholic Church today for the good of the salvation of souls. And I'm talking about not just the people they're dealing with. I'm thinking the priests, the bishops, and even the Pope have that moral responsibility to teach, govern, and sanctify. Stay with us. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Murr, I can't wait to hear your answer. Stay with us, family. Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. One point I'm going to mention, that canon law, the last canon, says everything the church is all about is about the salvation of souls. That's the number one item that we have to look at. And why I bring this up, because I'm kind of making a bold statement here, that why aren't we excommunicating these knuckleheads who go against church teaching or in public places? They're making it clear that they're snubbing themselves. They're the church is saying the church is wrong, even inside the church. So my question to you, Father Murr, is, you know, in history and the benefit of excommunicating someone as a medicinal medicine for these people over the years, I've seen reading these stories of people realizing, hey, wait a minute, I got excommunicated, man. Could I be doing something wrong? Or, you know, I better repent. And then they repent and they're blessed by God. And now they got some temporal punishment to do. I get that. But the point of it is, the church was strong at that time to speak up and tell them, I love you enough to tell you you're excommunicated. Am I onto something?
Well, you're onto a lot of things, actually. The first thing is, the church normally is clear and makes clear distinctions between right and wrong, good and evil, yes and no, positive, negative. I mean, it's simple.
Yeah.
You said something before, Terry, that's I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I would expand it a little bit further.
Okay.
And it's precisely a point that Bishop Sheen makes very well in a couple of his retreat talks. He says the opposite of love is not hate. He finds that the opposite of love is apathy. Mm. Is not caring.
Mm-hmm.
Is not caring. If you talk to people who are having a falling out in their marriage or in friendships and in any relationship,
they
will most complain about not that so-and-so hates me. My husband hates me. My wife hates me. My wife doesn't care anymore.
That's a good point.
My husband doesn't care anymore. It's apathy. And this is where, most unfortunately, I lament this. Lamentabile est. It is lamentable. Mm-hmm. That the Catholic Church.
Yes.
I say you're correct. About 60 years. Especially since the council. Again, when I say since the council, I'm not saying that the council had anything to do with it.
Right.
I'm simply saying that since the council, the church has become apathetic, mm-hmm. not caring. We're not going to condemn anything. We're not going to do that. And we have this in the present pope blatantly. He refuses to condemn anything. Look, when you're training a child in anything, when I was studying psychology, we used to call it the M&M theory. There was negative reinforcement, discipline, negative reinforcement, and the M&M theory. Where you do something good, you get an M&M, right?
Sure.
Positive reinforcement, negative reinforcement. Both of them belong in human life. The positive and the negative. The reason that we have so many people falling apart when they get into their first job at age 25 or something is because their boss or someone says no. They don't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
They don't know how to handle it. They have nervous breakdowns.
Yeah.
Well, somebody should have told them no many years ago. I remember talking to a guy who's still a friend of mine. He's a good friend.
Yeah.
In Brooklyn. Yeah. You have to be from Brooklyn to kind of understand it. Okay. Brooklyn. And he said he married late in life, and he and his wife were having their first son, and they looked very much forward to it and everything else.
Sure.
And he said to me, and I understood where he was coming from, because he had a very hard childhood.
Okay.
Very tough. A father who didn't understand what love was at all, right? Everything was negative. He said, I'm never going to say no to my child. I said, you what? He said, I am never going to say no to this kid. I've decided already, never. He's never going to hear me say no. Well, that went along for about 2.5 years. And then all of a sudden we change.
Yeah, I
We
bet.
change our mind.
Better.
Because the kid was completely out of control.
Of course.
Who was running? The kid was running the household. A 2-year-old is running the household, right? Anyway, you learn positively and you learn negatively. You should always try, I'm of the school that you should always try to convey an idea positively.
Yeah.
And then try again, positively, and again and again. When you can't, when there's no other way to get this through someone's head, a negative reinforcement helps. And this is what excommunication is for. Excommunication isn't used lightly, nor should it be. It's a very serious thing. You know what excommunication is saying, Terry?
Tell
Just
us.
stop and think of this.
Tell us.
Excommunication means, this is awful sounding, that you are damned in life.
Right. It's
Do
a
you hear
wake-up
that?
call. It's a wake-up call.
You're damned in life.
Yes.
You're already damned. Should you die in that condition,
Yeah.
you're already judged.
Yeah.
It's your judgment is finished. It's done.
That's right.
That's what excommunication is from the church. It is a very strong, harsh weapon, and it should be used as a weapon. Why? So we can send more people to hell? That's not the idea. The
Wake up.
idea is that they wake up,
Exactly.
repent, and save their souls,
Exactly.
right? And this is not being used. As a matter of fact, it's not only not being used, Terry, as good Archbishop Vigano is
Yeah.
pointing out, they're not even being told no.
I know it's terrible.
This is the problem. They're not even being told this is wrong. What is the word that I came across a couple of days ago, and I hadn't heard it in the longest time? Mealy mouth.
Oh, your mouth, yeah. That's an old saying.
Remember?
Yes, of
Yes, an
course.
old the nuns used to use those $5 words every once in a while for vocabulary tests, right? Mealy mouth. We have bishops, a great number of them, who are mealy mouth. They're like what was it? Harvey Milquetoast?
Yeah, Harvey Milquetoast.
Yeah, just well, I don't know. I don't know. Well, we can't do this. We can't. Oh, for goodness sake, then don't be bishop.
Exactly. Step
Give
down.
it, give it, give, step out of the way and let somebody who's capable take the job. This is crazy. But we're not even saying no. Forget excommunication.
Yeah.
People aren't even being told that they're wrong. I don't believe that any archbishop, much less the Archbishop of Washington, has told Joe Biden that he's wrong.
You know what the strongest statement has become from the cardinal of Washington D.C. Cardinal Wilton Gregory. He's calling the president a cafeteria Catholic who picks and chooses for his political advantage. That's the strongest he can come up with.
Cardinal Gregory actually said that?
Yes, it's right here in
Oh, I
my
mean,
notes.
this is great news.
Yeah, it
This
is.
is stunning news.
Yeah, because in the past, the question came,
Wow.
should we not give Joe Biden Holy Communion? And
The point is, Terry, that he's even wrong with that because Mr. Biden is not a cafeteria Catholic.
Exactly.
That's he's not. He's not
No,
even that.
exactly. This is the strongest they can come up with to
That's ridiculous.
criticize the Biden. And I'm going to tell you what I think, and then you can correct me right on the air. I have no problem with being corrected because I'm not always right. But when I look at the budget that the U.S. government funds the UCCB, okay, a lot of money, about 65% of the money that they do to work, do charitable work, right, for the is coming from the federal government. Here's the problem I see with that, Father. Just like whenever you take government funds, there's always restrictions on those funds.
You know it.
Yeah, and so I think
You know it.
that's the problem. I said we can't be too derogatory towards the administration because they can pull those strings of money. And I've actually seen it on YouTube where the bishops' conference on television where they say, "Now, guys, be careful. We can't say too much here because they're giving us 65% of our of all of our money coming in is coming from the federal government." So my take on it is that here's my take on it. And we're a nonprofit 501c3.
I'm already anticipating it, Terry.
Yeah. My take on it is, who cares? Okay? We have the truth to proclaim. And if we lose our nonprofit status, okay, so what? I mean, that's just how it works, because we won't compromise. And I'm asking the bishops and the Holy Father to say, look, we need to speak the truth, yes, in charity, with clarity, and not be opposed to just giving people the truth of the gospel, even if it means excommunication, which wakes them up to say, wait a minute, you guys are serious. So here's my point. I think that we should stop getting money from the federal government so that our bishops' conference can actually not feel pressured to try to appease the government and the administration and preach the gospel. Okay, I'm done. That's my take. Tell me I'm wrong.
Terry, I could not agree with you more.
Okay, well, that's how I see it,
though. I could not agree with you more. Who cares? I almost said something.
Yeah, I get
who
it.
The heck cares?
Yeah.
That we have our tax status is this or that.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Nope.
Sooner or later, we're going to lose that tax status anyway.
That's right.
You know that.
Yeah, of course.
That's coming down the pipe real soon.
Oh yeah.
Because someone is going to say something pretty soon.
Right.
And we're going to lose everything, which we should have lost years ago.
Yeah.
We should have lost years ago. It would keep us on the straight and narrow.
And you know what?
When you're committed, look, I'm telling you, I'll tell you something.
Tell me, Father.
Let me tell you the story.
I need a story.
Hang on a second.
We got a commercial coming up in 20 seconds. When we come back, I want to hear your story.
When we get back, remind me about the dog.
The dog.
In
okay. Church. Oh, yes. I'll remind you about the little poochie in church. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Charles Murd, Terry Barber, I wish we'd be a little clearer about what we believe. No, I'm joking. Why don't you really tell me what you think, Father Murd? We'll come back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Father Charles Murr sitting in for Jesse. It's a Monday. And Father Charles has another story to tell us about a dog. I can't wait to hear this one.
Well, you need a story, Terry.
Absolutely.
If you have a story a day, well, how do you keep the doctor awake? Come on.
Exactly.
Here's the thing. Yeah. Here's the thing. When we're talking about money and how it changes people's attitudes and everything else, and we say, it's easy for us to say, well, the bishops this, the bishops that, the president of the United States, the governor this. This is a human problem. Mm-hmm. This is a human problem. Mm-hmm. And I'm reminded of the parish priest who was leading the rosary mm-hmm. in church.
Yep.
And during the rosary, a little dog came in and came into the sanctuary.
Oh, boy.
And the parish priest started the rosary. He said, the first joyful mystery, the Annunciation. And he sees the dog and he says to the sacristan, Miguel, get this dog out of here. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Starts the mystery.
Yeah.
Gets done. Second joyful mystery, the Visitation. He looks over, the dog is still there. Miguel, I told you, get the dog out of the church. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The third, he's about to say the same thing because he sees the dog over on the other side. Miguel, and Miguel comes running up quietly and whispers into the pastor's ear. He said, Father, that dog is Mrs. Torres's dog, the lady who gave the money for the new pipe organ. And the priest just straightened up a little bit. He said, Miguel, as I told you, a kneeler for the dog. Ah! Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
That's a great story.
Well, this is it's just human. We all are this way.
Yeah.
And money has this effect on most of us.
Yeah.
It simply does. That's why we have to be that's why we're called to be very careful with it.
Yeah.
Very, very careful with it. Because it compromises.
Yes, it does. It does.
Well, it certainly has compromised the Catholic Church.
It has.
Because the church used to depend on the church.
Yeah.
Look, if we couldn't open three orphanages but only had enough money for one, well, we opened one.
Right.
If we couldn't open two hospitals but had enough money for one, we opened one.
That's it.
That's the way we operated.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something else, Jerry. People saw the good work that the church was doing, and they became more generous. And there were more hospitals, more orphanages, more schools, yeah, more food pantries for the poor. All of this was taken care of by the church. As a matter of fact, there was a time when our governments did nothing, did precious nothing for
right,
the poor.
Right, right.
Until they decided, they saw that it could be it was politically wise. It was politically expedient for them to do so. All right. Well, then they bought the church. They said, we've got the money. Now we need the people to give it to run these programs.
Right.
And you've got both sides bowing to the applause. Yep. The church is happy because people think they're doing Catholic works, and the government's happy because they can explain where this money is going.
Yep.
Look, we don't need it. No. We don't need it, and we shouldn't have it.
Yeah.
When they're talking about the church being poor, this is where the church should be poor.
Yeah.
And it should depend on charity. Charity used to be a virtue, not a government handout, right? We don't need it. And when you take it, Terry, you can't speak. You cannot speak. It's gotten to such a point that our leadership, our Catholic leadership, has taken so much money from the government that they cannot denounce abortion.
Yes.
Come on.
No, that's true. It's true.
This is where we're at. This is outrageous.
Well, I have a line. I always say, follow the money. And when you follow the money, and we see that the church is getting so much from the federal government, of course they're going to be silent because they don't want to shut the revenue stream coming in from the government. If they criticize
There used to be another saying, Terry, too, in anything mysterious, I would say, cherche la femme.
Ah.
Follow the woman, but now with 58 genders, I guess it's
different. And you know, Father, I just want to throw another thing that does all this, that it's corrupting our church. If you think of all the sexual abuse that's going on in the Catholic Church, I didn't see, here's the point I'm going to make, and you correct me right on the air too. We have the Diocese of Sacramento filing for bankruptcy just last week. So many of these dioceses are filing for bankruptcy because of lawsuits for the clergy or people working for the church doing immoral things. I'm convinced that as we got flush with money, our morals go down. Am I on to something?
Of course. Because we become complacent.
Yeah.
We're taken care of. Nobody has to scurry and hurry up and find money to keep things going or this. Yeah. No, we have it.
Yeah.
We have it. And yes, we become complacent because we're living an easy life.
And if I can throw one more thing in for the clergy, because you are a clergy, you've lived, sure, you've done, you've been at parishes. In my estimation as a layman, when I go to, I'm going to parishes tonight for three nights in a row. So I get to see the rectory, I get to meet the priests, and I see things. And I really believe, because you can correct me again, you've lived in the missions in Mexico, but I think that we've got too much of a luxury life for our clergy. And I think that's also adding to the immorality of our clergy. They have two.
You know what I would start with, Terry?
Tell me.
If I were bishop of a diocese, the first thing I would do is I would forbid cable television in any of our rectories.
That makes sense. Of course.
Take it out. The second thing that I would do is something else.
What's that?
I don't know if you could force people to do it, but I would push for our priests to, Fulton J. Sheen called it the Samson oath.
What is that?
Samson had no strong drink. Mm. No strong drink. That would wine or beer is not strong drink.
No, I get it. It would be like
but
hard liquor.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
I would forbid strong drink to the clergy.
It makes sense.
I really would.
Look at the problem.
It's you have no idea the problems with the problems that come with alcohol. There are even cases, they're few and far between, thank God, of drug addiction.
Yes, of course.
With the clergy. I mean, right? But this is the world we live in,
yeah.
Terry.
This
is the world we live in. And the church is going to be contaminated by that world. However, I think that if look, let me tell you something. Here's something I'll bet you don't know. Pius XII was having a hard time in a number of things that he was trying to put through, right?
Yep.
He's having a hard time. He asked the Jesuit fathers he didn't ask a favor. He demanded it.
Yeah.
That they all of them stop smoking.
I remember that story. Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
Well, they all did that same day.
Unbelievable.
All of them. Now, you stop smoking. I used to smoke.
Sure.
And I can tell you, it is one hard thing to stop. Right? I think it was W.C. Field said, stopping smoking is easy to do. I've done it 1,000 times.
Yeah, that's the one.
I think it wasn't him. It wasn't Fields. It was Samuel Clemens.
Oh,
Mark Twain.
I've heard that.
But it is a difficult thing to do. 30,000 Jesuits, 20,000 of them were smokers because in those days everybody smoked. Stopped smoking immediately.
That's incredible.
To give a spiritual impetus.
That's
to
powerful.
What the Pope's intentions were. Now, this is incredible. So it can be done. It can be done.
Yeah.
We need to be challenged.
Well,
we need to be challenged.
Sacrifice is the language of love. So if you can't make
it
a sacrifice,
is.
And whether they're a family member, you make sacrifices for your wife and children. Get with it. That's part of the program. And so I'm going to just say one last thing about the clergy, and then I'll let you give us a blessing. And that is, we need our clergy to really emulate.
Oh, you're gonna say one more derogatory thing about the clergy and then ask the clergy for a blessing?
Yeah, you got it. And that and that is that our clergy need to be centered more on the Holy Eucharist than they are now.
There's no doubt about it.
The Holy Hour. It's key.
No doubt about it.
For being able to have that time with our Lord to serve the people of God. Without that, I don't see a priest surviving in the church today. That's my thing.
Yeah, well, it's true. It's true.
All right.
It's true. But we've also lost a tremendous faith and respect and devotion for the Holy Eucharist.
Yes.
Tremendous.
Oh, yeah.
And you are absolutely right, Terry. That is the center of the priest's life.
Yes.
And if it's not, boy, is he in for trouble.
Big time. And not only that, he can't pass on his love for Jesus if he doesn't have it in the Holy Eucharist. That's my take. The Mass.
Well, it's the only take. It's the way it is.
Father, I want to recommend people to get your books, and they go to charlesmurr.com. Is that correct?
Go to charlesmurr.com, and you'll see all my books there.
Yeah.
But listen, Terry, I have one more announcement.
Oh, I love announcements. Go ahead.
Well, it's not an announcement. It's a petition.
Oh, petition, yeah.
I've told you this. You and I have talked about this for a couple of years. I need a contact with Mel Gibson.
Oh, yeah.
I need to talk to Mel Gibson.
Well, I think we can.
I've got a fantastic idea for him.
Okay.
I really do, and I need 10 minutes of his time. So if anybody's listening who knows him, tell him that Father Murr needs 10 minutes of his time. Not 11 minutes.
Yeah.
10 minutes.
10 minutes. Okay. I think I can handle that by several people that I know have his ear. And so I'll try and follow up on that with you today, actually. All right, Father Murr, how about a blessing? This is the Easter season, and we're a resurrected people in the sense
Absolutely.
That we realize that life is short and eternity is forever. A blessing, please.
Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descendet super vos et manet semper. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And Father Murr, what next time?
Amen. Amen. Alleluia. Alleluia.
That's right. Alleluia. Alleluia. What I wanted to say is this. Why don't you really tell me what you think next time? I mean, Father Murr, I love it because you're willing to stand up for the truth, even if it means paying a price for it. in your life. And I think that's what our Lord did, and that's what we're all called to do.
You know what the most difficult thing about that is, Terry?
Tell me.
After I say all these things, I now have to go put them in practice in my own life.
Me too, brother. Thank you, Father Murr. Hey, folks, I want to thank you for supporting us here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Go online to vmpr.org. All of the shows are backlogged where you can listen to them on podcasts. And I think you'll be finding much joy and education there. Stay with us. We've got another show coming up right after this show. May God richly bless you. Thanks again for listening.